Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence, O Lord, this morning, thanking you, Father, for every blessing. We thank you, Lord, for your love, for your mercy. We thank you, Father, for these that are bowed with us. Lord, you know the need of the hour. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd touch every heart, every individual here today. God, just draw us even closer to you. Lord, help us, Father, this morning, Lord, to turn towards the goodness of God. Lord, you've been good to all of us. Father, I pray this morning that your will be done. Lord, that souls will be saved. Backsliders will turn from their wicked ways. We ask you now, Lord, to go with us. Anoint us afresh with fresh oil. Lord, take thy servant for a little while this morning and use us for your glory. We ask you now to go with us and give us the words that we need to say. And what you do for us, we'll be careful to thank you. And we'll praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to talk to us this morning on soul winning. Month of May, we're going to talk about winning souls. And we want to talk about getting a burden for those that are lost out of the Word of God. These were a people that were in captivity. They were in bondage. They no longer had the liberty that they once had in worshiping God, nor did they enjoy the joys of God's salvation. They won't anything bring a revival to a church anymore than seeing souls saved. There won't anything that'll bring any more joy to a young married couple trying to have a baby than to have a baby born in their family. That's a time of rejoicing, isn't it? That's a time where little families rejoice. I remember when our first boy was born into our family, what a joy it was, amen, that a child had been born in the McClellan family. It not only touched me and my wife, but it touched my mother and daddy, and it touched all the cousins, my uncles and aunts, my cousins, and on my side, and on her side, it was a time of rejoicing when there was a baby born in the family. Isn't it always a joy when a baby's born in the family? Amen. So it is a joy when a baby's born into the family of God, when somebody has been born again. They had lost their joy in serving the Lord. They had lost their joy in worshiping God. But not only did they lose their joy, but evidently, according to their testimony, they had lost their influence in the world because no longer had the world recognized God in them. And so now they'd been taken under captivity. The Bible said that they had, the Lord had turned again the captivity of Zion. And the Bible said we were like them that dream. Amen. And all the day when God would set us free, of the day when the church would once again rejoice in a harvest of souls that are in sin would come and be born again. Oh, listen to me this morning now. The Bible said they dreamed, were like them that dreamed. They remembered what it was like when the house had its glory in its first state, and how they longed to see the day when people would once again rejoice and would come to God and would be saved by the grace of God. I want to tell you what a time of refreshing and a time of rejoicing
When one soul turns away from sin and comes to the Lord, and the church begins to rejoice over the soul that has been saved. The Bible said that our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. They began to rejoice and their hearts began to swell. And the Bible said, and they said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. I want to tell you, we've lost our joy and love for lost souls. How to see them born again. I noticed that the church begins to rejoice out yonder, not only in here, but out yonder when souls are saved. And we have nothing to boast in but the cross of Calvary. But when some lost soul comes to the cross and gets born again, we've got someone to rejoice about. Amen. Because somebody has found the Lord at the cross of Calvary. The Bible said their mouth was filled with laughter and their tongue was singing. The Bible said even the heathen noticed that something was taking place over at the house of God. And how there was something how those people were rejoicing over. The Bible said the Lord hath done great things. Not only did the heathen recognize what God was doing, but the church recognized that how they had been set free. And because of their joy, many were coming to know the Lord. The Bible said, turn again our captivity. The Bible said, O Lord, as the streams in the south, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They had found a renewal in soul winning. They had found a renewal in their heart for reaching out to those that are lost and reaching for their soul. And I want to tell you this morning, if the church doesn't do the work will not get done. Amen. I believe the Lord set a church up in the world for a beacon light to shine out into a dark world and to let them know that Jesus saves sinners and he's able to deliver them from their bondage of sin and to set them free. Do you remember when the Lord saved you? If you do, would you just wave at me? If you don't have a testimony and you don't have a time or a place when the Lord saved you, you won't know what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you, when Jesus saved our soul, he set us free from the bondage of sin. Amen. And he gave us liberty in the Holy Ghost to worship the Lord. That we could not do for ourselves, he done it for us. Thank God for the joy, amen, that we received when we got born again. Our mourning turned to laughter. And my friend, our sin that we once had that put us under bondage, Jesus set us free. That's right. Amen. The Bible said now, he said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Amen. There's not enough weeping going on in the church house anymore for lost souls. And I'm satisfied it's because we quit praying for sinners. We quit praying for them. We quit taking the time for them. Amen. And we no longer have them on our heart nor on our mind. The Bible said, he that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. They were looking at a new day of hope. These were farmers, no doubt. They were people that depended solely upon the Lord for their sustenance. And now they have been set free in from captivity. They have been set free. And they have now depended upon the solely in the Lord. No one else. For years they had been under rule of Babylon and been under rule of their captives. But today they've declared freedom. And now they've learned to depend solely on God. And now they're trusting the Lord in a physical sense. And the Bible said that they encouraged one another to sow in tears, you'll reap in joy. And he said, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed. They knew the worth of those seed when they'd put them in the ground. I want to tell you, to a starving man, And so he said, that shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him when they put that precious seed in the ground. No doubt God would bless them, and that seed would come, and God would supply for them a harvest. And the Bible said that bring forth the sheaves with him. The labor in the Lord is never in vain. Amen. It's never in vain. The word of God, the Bible said, is like bread. It's cast upon the waters, and many days will be gathered again. It will accomplish wherein it's sent. Amen. Everything we do for God will not be in vain. It will come up. Hallelujah. And we will rejoice in harvest time. And we will see souls saved for the honor and the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But he gives us, the Bible said, in soul winning, there has to be tears. There has to be a broken heart. Amen. If we're going to reach those that are lost, how are we going to get a broken heart? Prayer. Fervent prayer. Constantly praying. Every day. Spending time. Amen. With the Lord. With that one soul on our heart. On our mind continuously. And the Lord take away our sleep. Take away our meat. Our sleep will be that soul. Our eat and drink will be that soul. We will not be comfortable until we win that soul for God. That some soul will be born again.
Right.
Hallelujah. The Bible said that brings forth weeping. What brings weeping? Well, I want to say to you, pain brings forth weeping. Doesn't it? Not enough pain for souls anymore. Pain will cause a man to cry. Pain will cause a man's heart to move. Amen. If you don't believe that, get you a sledgehammer and hit your big toe and tell me you won't weep on the count of the pain. The Bible said the reason there's not any babies being born is because there's no travail. There's no pain. Amen. There's no wanting one. There's no wanting a baby. There's no pain to be had. Somebody said that when you have a baby, that it's a pain that's unbearable. Jesus said, but when that man child is born, we forget about the pain, for the joy of man child has been brought into the world. Pain endureth for a little while. Amen. But joy comes in the morning. We can weep because of pain. We ought to get under a heavy load of pain and hurt for them and hurt for their soul. They are dying in their sin and dying and going to hell. And all the trouble they're facing is because of their captivity, of their sin. It's a wrecking and ruining and destroying lives. And the church has stood idly by and done absolutely nothing. Weeping. Weeping comes when we suffer. We suffer. Suffering, Jesus says, is just for a little while here. And it doesn't even compare to the glory we're going to get to share when we get to heaven. We're going to suffer down here for a little while. What's it going to hurt for you to suffer over a soul? What's it going to hurt for us to suffer over souls that are dying and going to hell? I want to tell you this morning, it'll bring forth weeping. We've got to have a broken heart. Amen. If we're going to reach those that are lost, what's wrong with the church is we don't have a broken heart nor a burden for sinners. And we've lost the pain for them. And we no longer cry. I'm glad for the ones that wept over my life. Amen. Aren't you glad for those that wept over you? Cried. That dear mama laid in the bed of praying for you. That daddy that prayed for you as their child, wanting to see you saved, wanting God to save you. And that friend that prayed for you, that co-worker that gave his time in prayer to pray for your soul. It wasn't in vain, was it? No, it wasn't in vain. God looked and he treed you one day. And he came under the tree where you was at and said, come down from here. But today I'm going to abide in your house. I'm going to tell you this morning, there's not enough weeping for souls. We've got to get them on our mind. We've got to get them in our heart. And then when we get them there, we'll get them in our feet. And when we get them in our feet, he'll get the job done. He said, goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed. The Bible tells us the seed is the word of God. Amen. And when it's planted, it will come up. It will have its effect in the hearts of sinners. I believe that, don't you?
Yes.
I do. I believe that. Been trying to tell them that Jesus saves, but the church has become silent because we've been taken under captive of the devil and of the world and of self, and we no longer tell them about Jesus anymore. How we talk about everything else, but we don't tell them about Jesus. He's the answer to their sin problem. He has always been and always will be the Savior of the world. And when they turn to him, they can be saved. Amen. Peter called him precious. It's the precious blood of the Lamb of God that saves souls. It's the precious word of God that endures forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall endure forever. And I'm going to tell you of this world trying to do away with the word of God, but they'll never do away with it. It's eternal. There have been many folks trying to do away with the word of God. Even in Jeremiah's day, they tried to do away with the word of God, but the devil can't ever take it out of our heart. Amen. It's always there, and it always will be there. As long as there's an earth, the word of God will endure. Amen. And shall always endure. The Bible said, a bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That ought to encourage every one of us. He said, and doubtless shall come again with rejoicing.
Yeah.
I tell you, if we'd get after him. Amen. Send the Holy Ghost to him. Pray for him. And if we have to, pray with him. Let me ask you a question. If you was a lost person, and your loved one or friend, after 30 days, brought you that book, and said, I wish you to read it, and you had that book and all your prayers bound up for 30 days in that book, I'm going to tell you, preacher. Well, yeah, he said doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I've seen it way too many times that when the church got after lost souls, they got to move. And they'll never forget. You remember the young man, or the man that came here when Brother Cook was here, sitting about where Brother James is. Seen. Fact of the matter is, he never felt like he needed God. He was a good moral man. Fine moral man. Never cussed, never drank, never done anything out of the way, worked hard all his life, took care of his family. You could find no blemish on that man whatsoever. I couldn't find a blemish. He'd shave every day, clean up every day, go to work every day, come back home, take care of his yard, his house. There was no blemish in that man whatsoever, except he was lost. And when we were gathered around that hospital, his father-in-law went to the church where I was pastoring, and his father-in-law got bad sick, and he got septic, and swelled up, looked like he weighed 400 pounds. His skin weak with fluid. They said he's going to die. His creatinine, did I say that right? It was on the bad side. And Mike was there, and we gathered around, and the doctor there. And I said, "Doctor, I said, what do we need to pray for that man taking this guy out? I said, he's going to die. Tell me what he needs." And he'd say he'd need his to come up. And we prayed. I said, "Let's pray for that specifically." We'd pray for it. And the next day, the doctor come in and said it doubled more than what we thought it was going to be. And to make a long story short, Mike saw the goodness of God. He saw the working of God, and it turned Mike towards God, and he got born again right here.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I'm going to tell you, when the church begins to get broken over souls, it'll move heaven and it'll move earth. The Bible said, "Doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him."
Yeah.
You skeptics,
God bless
you. Don't be skeptical. Don't ever underestimate the power of God when the church begins to pray.
Amen.
If we begin to get burdened and broken over sinners, I'm telling you, get them on your heart, put them in the book, write your prayers in the book, and by the third day you can't get them out of your mind. You won't be able to get them off your heart. I can't wait to see what the 15th day is going to do. I'm afraid by the time 15 days go by, I'll probably be sitting in my study a weeping over the fact that this boy's going to get born again. The Bible said they dream for the day. Precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bring him the sheaves with him. I'm looking to bring him with me. I'm telling you, I'm looking to bring him with me. Preacher, you don't know. I know God.